Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay with the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good evening to you as well, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Are you sitting in warm Florida?
Well, I'm not going to rub it in. It's warm, but it's cool for us. So, I mean, we've been having some temperatures to dip down for South Florida, but today I got to enjoy the sunshine and walk on the beach, so I'm not going to try to emphasize how nice and warm it was too much to you, because I know that you don't like all this winter weather you're getting.
That's right, and I know you do, but however, it doesn't make me feel any better. But I'm glad you're enjoying that nice walk on the beach while I'm enjoying walking on the ice.
You just need to come visit me, that's all. That's it.
I know, Misty, I might have to do that. But we want to welcome all of our listeners tonight, and also we want to give you our call-in number in case you would like to call, in case you have any questions or comments. And so if you have a pencil, you can write it down. It's area code 646-716-4893. Tonight we're really excited because we have a really special guest who is a wonderful woman who I've known for a number of years through our support network, and her name is Rhonda. And Rhonda's with us now. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm very excited that you could be with us.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And I wanted to thank Rhonda so much for writing a beautiful piece for my newsletter that came out on Friday that many of you have already had the opportunity to read. But if you don't have the newsletter or would like a copy of it, all you have to do is write to me at bonk@aol.com. And I'll be happy to forward it to you. But, you know, the newsletter was sent out to thousands of people, not only in this country, but also around the world. And I wanted this month, because it was the January newsletter, I really like to give people hope for the year. And when I read Rhonda's piece that she wrote for the newsletter, I just said, this is the piece I've been waiting for to give everybody hope. So, Rhonda, thank you so much, and let's talk a little bit about you and your situation. Can you talk to us a little bit about your marriage, when it was, how it was, when it ended?
Yeah, I will say that I was married once before to a wonderful man who, you know, was a little more in control of himself. He was a very strong man, a great guy, great father. But as someone who was born into a family of codependents, I found that I needed someone to need me. And my first husband, while he was wonderful, he didn't really give in to, you know, my need to enable and take care of him, which was healthy on his part, not so much on my part. So we divorced after having 3 children together. And then I met the man who would become my second husband. And this was someone who definitely needed me in his life, needed someone who could take care of him and enable him. And he seemed to fit the bill. He was what I was looking for at that time. This was a man that needed me, or so I thought.
And how old were you at that point?
Oh, my goodness. I was in my late 30s. You would think I was old enough to know better and, you know, to be able to see through things. But I was blinded. I was in love with this man. He was everything I thought I wanted. He said the right things. He did the right things. But I learned that it was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He was very good at lying.
Now, did you know him for long before you got married?
Just for a few years, you know, as casual friends.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anything very serious initially. I think that time sort of allowed him to learn more about me and to learn that he could take advantage of my good nature and my caring and my need to nurture. And I will say this too, I was a very independent woman, and still am, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I was quite capable of taking care of myself financially. I rather liked being the strong one in the relationship. Because again, it gave me the opportunity to caretake and enable. He was a writer, and didn't really want to work, you know, because he was a writer, and so I allowed him to live the lifestyle that he wanted to live.
Mm-hmm.
When I would go off to work, he would have his free time during the day to do whatever he wanted to do. And I learned later on that he wasn't spending that time writing.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long were you married to him?
We were married for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
but only lived under the same roof for about 4.5 of those 7 years. And the reason for that is, every now and then, it actually happened twice during the course of our marriage, he would claim that he couldn't find work in our hometown where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And he would amazingly find work out of state. One job took him back to Michigan. One job took him to Wisconsin. And we were living in Alabama at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a long-distance marriage. And I later learned that those long-distance jobs that he was taking, usually when he left to go take a job, quote-unquote, it was usually at a point where he was having trouble living the lie.
Mm-hmm.
And needed his space.
So, into the marriage, you know, when you married him, were you about the same age?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're the same age.
Have you been married before?
Yes. He had been married before and had 2 children.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was the second victim, I guess you could say. To this day, I'm grateful that I didn't have children with this man.
Mm-hmm.
As much damage as he did to me, as his wife, I'll say I think he was very damaging to his children even more so. And I also should probably let you know that even today he has not come out to his family.
Mm-hmm.
He's still living the lie. I happen to know from mutual friends that he is still, he's having his gay lifestyle. He's living, you know, that part of his life. But I recently learned that he has posted a profile on Match.com looking for a girlfriend. So what that tells me is that he's looking for his next victim.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. When you married him, was your relationship on a good track, would you say? Were there any kind of red flags that made you suspicious about anything?
It's funny. When I look back now, the signs were there.
Mm-hmm.
In a conversation that we had before we were married, he mentioned that when he was in college, that he had gotten drunk one night and went home with a guy. And while, you know, I think that should have been very alarming to me at that point, I was just so in love with this man. He assured me that nothing happened, that he only went home with this guy because he was drunk, that, you know, he wasn't, you know, gay, and this wasn't something he wanted. He was just being honest with me. You know, he tried to just sort of pass it off as sort of a, you know, college boy thing that just happened.
Maybe he was looking to see how far, you know, you would go as far as accepting that.
Well,
you know, if you're willing to.
He was successful in that, because I was just so in love with him. I wanted to believe everything he told me.
Well, I don't think you can be too hard on yourself for that, because certainly, you know, a lot of us don't have an understanding of what homosexuality is. And I know, for instance, if I suspected or knew of any past relationships that my ex may have had before I married him, I thought that, you know, it's not that abnormal for a man to try something with another man.
Mm-hmm.
And they would see that they didn't like it, and that's not who they were. So certainly you can't, you know, blame yourself on that one.
Yeah, and there were other things, too. I know this will sound strange, but his ex-wife was actually a friend of mine. Very, very odd. But she had one day, when she and I were having lunch, she made the comment that she thought that maybe he might have some questions about his sexuality, that she had always wondered if maybe he might be gay or bisexual. And that should have been a huge red flag. You know, here's the man's ex-wife saying to me, you know, I think he might be gay or bisexual. You know, I've wondered about that.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I wanted to believe everything he told me. And
well,
I
more
did.
Importantly, were you having a physical relationship with him?
At that time, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is so confusing for women. Because they feel that, how could this guy be gay, you know, when we're sleeping together, making love together? And I think that's a very confusing part, too.
Yeah, I think in some ways that was one of his ways of trying to convince me. You know, he
maybe
was
trying to convince himself, too, Rhonda.
Well,
you know, look, guys just don't come to terms with themselves.
Mm-hmm. It could be. It could be, but as time wore on, that became less and less and less a part of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like once he had me hooked,
mm-hmm.
then he started taking advantage of me, and suddenly I wasn't as important for him to please or pay attention to. Because he had the wife that
mm-hmm.
made his life look normal to people from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I took it, you know, because again, I loved this man.
Mm-hmm. And I think that happens to many of us, and we don't understand, and we do try to look for the best in what it is, because we fall in love with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And we feel that if they're falling back in love with us, then whatever the problem is, we can work it out.
Right.
Or we can, you know, put it behind us, and we're just going to concentrate on us. You know,
well,
I think.
I'm sorry. Okay. I was so supportive of him. You know, I recognized that he had problems. Shortly after he and I started dating, I learned that he was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through all of the 12 steps and did all of that to become sober. And in fact, he was sober when we married.
Mm-hmm.
Had been sober for a little over a year at the time when we married. So there was a part of me that blamed the alcoholism on some of the relationship problems. that you know, he wasn't physically able to have a relationship with me because it had something to do with the alcohol abuse. You know, so I was, you know, always suggesting that he go see a doctor and talk to doctors and get care and do this. And, you know, again, I was taking care of him while I was hurting inside and wondering, you know, I figured there had to be some sort of problem. There had to be some sort of organic problem that was affecting our relationship.
Mm-hmm. So how did things proceed from that point? Did you ever actually get a confession out of him?
Oh, I asked him so many times. I wanted him to be honest with me. That's all I wanted, just be honest with me. And the man could never be honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
I had my suspicions. You know, I did find gay porn on our computer at home. And when I would ask him about it, he would say, oh, it was just some pop-up thing that came up while he was on the computer. And, you know, it was never his fault. You know, he always had a good excuse for it. And it was when he finally, he had taken a job in Michigan for a little over a year, and then he moved back home to Alabama. And then he wound up leaving again to take a job in Wisconsin. And it was when he took that job in Wisconsin that things started to become apparent to me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that he did do while we were living together is, now this is a man with a bachelor's degree from the University of Wisconsin with honors. He had a master's degree from the University of Alabama, Birmingham, which, by the way, I paid for to put him through school, thinking that would be helpful to our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But the man could never find a job. So what he would do is take little jobs working in convenience stores. And consequently what happened is I would be working during the day, and he always worked at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we were never home really at the same time, or we had very limited time together at home.
Mm-hmm.
That way he could keep his life separate from my life. But it was when he took this second job that took him away to Wisconsin that, as I said, things started to sort of unravel for him a bit. The cable went out in my house one day. And I called the cable company to come out and check it out. And the cable guy shows up, and it was someone who had been to the house before, so he was sort of familiar with, you know, who lived at the house. And the cable man said, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, using my married last name, I thought maybe Mr. So-and-so would be here when I came by today. And I said, no, he doesn't live here anymore. He has moved away.
Mm-hmm.
And the cable man said to me, oh, well, that's really interesting. I saw him not long ago. He was at, and he named the restaurant. It was one of those all-night breakfast places where you can go in at 2 o'clock in the morning and have breakfast. He said, I saw him there with a young man. And then he kind of stopped and he looked at me and he said, and they looked like they were very close.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you could say that was my confirmation. and I heard it from the cable guy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And did you confront him on that?
I did. And he denied it. If I called him today, he would deny it. But I have had other people who know him ask me questions and tell me things that they knew. recently had a friend of ours ask me about something that he saw my ex post on his Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something about a gay video club. And then when the friend went back to check that page again, apparently my ex had removed that posting. So he's getting a little sloppy in his old age, I guess.
I guess. How many years has it been since you split up with him?
It has been five years.
Okay. Now, after you had a breakup, after you broke up with him, did you think you were going to get back and find, you know, a relationship again?
With him?
No, in general.
Oh, God, no. I was so... First of all, I didn't think that I would ever find someone that I loved as much as I love this man. I was truly, truly in love with him. I married him for what I thought were all the right reasons. And I was very broken, very
mm-hmm.
broken, very unsure of myself. You know, here's a woman who, I mean, I was financially able to take care of myself, but yet I felt totally broken and used and ruined in a lot of ways. And I didn't think I ever wanted to subject myself to a relationship with someone. And I really didn't think that anyone would want to have a relationship with me. I really thought I was damaged goods.
And did you feel that way because of the marriage?
Yes.
Going into the marriage, you felt strong, right?
Very, very strong. This man was able to break me in just about every way possible. And I was madly in love with someone who made me totally miserable.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very distorted view about what a healthy relationship was supposed to be. You know, in your newsletter, you ended the newsletter by saying something about, you know, our relationships are not supposed to be this complicated.
Right.
Well, you know, they're
That's my sponsor for the year, by the way.
What's
that? I tell all the women who are in limbo there that life is never meant to be this complicated.
Right. And that's so true. When I think back to that time, you know, I was on the verge of a nervous breakdown almost every day between
mm-hmm.
the demands of working a full-time job and raising three children and trying to have a relationship with this man who totally confused me. And also knowing that this man and his craziness was having an impact on my own children.
Mm-hmm.
If I could go back and do everything all over again, I would have avoided him like the plague, not just for myself, but also for the hurt that he brought into my children's lives. Thank God they've turned out to be wonderful kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't easy. In fact, my children saw things in him that I didn't see. And even
I
now,
think a lot of kids are more perceptive, and they see things before we see them.
Oh, definitely. You know,
and definitely see our unhappiness, and you know they know how that's coming about also.
Right. Well, and I think that was the worst part of it all. It wasn't so much that they thought their stepdad was weird and, you know, hey, something's not right about him, but they saw how sad I was and how unhappy I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that had a huge impact on my kids. You know, they felt like they needed to work extra hard to make mom happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not their job.
Right. And I think a lot of women, I'm glad you bring that up, Rhonda, because I think so many women don't realize the implications this has on children, that when they see their parents being unhappy, they feel that it's their job to try to change that.
Right.
But it actually has nothing to do with them whatsoever.
Right.
And I think that a lot of us live with the guilt from that also.
Oh, and that was part of what I had to work through
mm-hmm.
as well. You know, what have I done to my kids by exposing them to this man? You know, it was a hard time in my life. And he came very, very close to doing me in. I really didn't know how I was going to make it. But I finally, I got angry and decided that, you know, my life was worth something, that, you know, this didn't work out, but I wasn't going to let this define me as a person.
Mm-hmm. And then you were able to move on in time after you did some healing.
Mm-hmm.
And met your soulmate, correct?
Yes, I did, but it took some time.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I didn't do, that I'm really glad that I didn't do, was I didn't listen to some of my well-meaning friends who tried to fix me up on dates and, you know, would say, oh, why don't you, you know, put a profile on Match.com or you need to meet someone. You know, I didn't do those things.
Because you recognized in yourself that you needed to, you know, put yourself back together first.
Absolutely.
That's a conversation that, you know, we have on a pretty regular basis, Misty and I, that, you know, women cannot just jump into the next relationship or they're doomed to repeat the same kinds of mistakes. If you can't learn what it is about yourself that put you in there in the first place, you're going to repeat it, and it may not be with a gay man, but there's plenty of other predators out there who are looking for women who aren't strong.
Yeah.
Emotionally. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, when I did start dating the man who became my soulmate, it's kind of funny. I had gone through a couple of years of therapy, and I highly recommend that. If you can, it was so helpful to me to have someone neutral to talk to, and I could talk out loud and tell her things that I couldn't tell anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very, very helpful to me. But when my soulmate, his name is Lee, when Lee and I started dating and it became obvious that there might be something here, he actually went to a therapy session with me. And
mm-hmm.
and met my therapist, and we sort of laughed about it because, you know, I said I couldn't date him unless my therapist approved. By this time, she had become a very good friend. I know that sounds kind of strange, too, that, you know, your therapists aren't really supposed to be your friends, but
mm-hmm.
but I had a trust with her, and quite frankly, I felt like I hadn't done such a great job picking out the last one.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of nice to have someone else's opinion. Lee met my therapist and she approved. And to think about it, how many boyfriends would go with you to a therapy appointment? You know, I mean,
right, that says a lot for a man if he's willing to take that extra step.
That's
you know,
right.
He's walking into a relationship with a woman who's had, you know, previous bad experiences, and she wants to make sure, you know, and I, you know, jokingly tell that to some of members of our support group, that before you get that involved with somebody, tell them you're going to take them to meet your aunt, your sister, whoever you want me to be. You know, get a second opinion, because a lot of times, as you said, we're blinded by love, we're blinded by feelings, and then, you know, when you can't totally trust yourself because of bad experiences in the past, it doesn't hurt to get, you know, a confirmation from someone who can be objective about it.
That's right. That's right. It was, and I highly recommend that. Another thing that I think it did, too, was, you know, when someone gets involved with a woman who has been married to or involved with a gay man, bisexual man, you know, I think that's a hard thing for you know, I hate to say a normal man, but a heterosexual man. I think it's a hard thing for them to understand and comprehend. You know, I think because it doesn't happen, you know, very often. I mean, they don't hear that very often. You know, they're much more accustomed to hearing, "Oh, my husband left me for his secretary," you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually, I think, helped Lee to understand the degree to, you know, how much hurt and pain I had gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And that also helps him to be a better partner. I mean, I think it gave him a little better understanding.
No, we have someone who's calling in. I think he may have a question for you. Let's see if we can get her on the line. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Hello. Hi, you're on with all of us. How are you?
Okay, good.
Did you have a question for Rhonda?
Oh, God, I don't know where to begin. Well, my name is Debbie. I'm from New York.
Hi, Debbie.
And hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Debbie.
I had a similar situation. And, yeah, it does mess you up.
Yes.
It really does mess you up.
Did you have a chance to read Rhonda's letter, Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, it leaves you thinking, oh, God, so many things. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Does it make you feel like you're inadequate?
Inadequate and stupid. Like,
yeah.
How come I didn't know this?
Mm-hmm.
Betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
My ex-husband did both. I mean, he cheated on me with women, and then it finally ended where he got into the swinger scene. And then I was finding him at gay bars, dancing with drag queens. The way I feel right now, I don't know if you feel this way, Rhonda, is like, it's like a blur. The marriage became a blur.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was real, that I was really married to this person, but I don't know who he is. I thought
you
did.
You know, sometimes I don't think they know who they are either. And
yeah, I think that's true.
And I think I understand what you're saying, because it felt to me when I was going through that like I was just trapped in this circle of craziness. I couldn't make sense of anything. You know, I blamed myself for the relationship not being what it should be. I would be angry at him, but at the same time, I would be defensive if anyone said anything about him. It was just chaotic, and yet I know that other people out there who are going through this and have gone through this understand exactly, you know, what you're saying, that's a blur. You're just, you're, you're caught in something that you just don't know how to get out of. And
Debbie, how long were you married?
15 years.
Mm. That's a long time.
Yeah. And
how long
ago
did it end?
Excuse me?
How long ago did it end?
Officially in 98.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know who he was. He started this nonsense in 96 and actually left me for my next-door neighbor who was into, literally my next-door neighbor, who was into swinging. And he was, like, trying to, like, I would find him on the computer and, like, all these chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what are you doing? This is when we were together at the end. And he goes, oh, no, this is really funny. You got to see this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that I knew him, I was just like, oh, God, you know, get off there. What are you doing? You know, not knowing he was really getting into it.
I did that, too. That reminds me. I actually I found my ex in some of the, what they call, M for M, male for male, men for men chat rooms. And he blamed it at that time. He blamed it on the alcohol. Oh, I was drunk and didn't know what I was doing, you know, or I just went in there by mistake. But, you know, again, another sign that that I chose to ignore.
And sometimes when people are living with people who are, you know, alcoholics, it's easy to ignore that sign. And even if something does happen, thinking it wasn't him, it was the alcohol.
Right.
You know,
my ex was an alcoholic.
He was or he wasn't?
He is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times they become alcoholics because they just can't accept their own realities, and that's the way they deal with it, through drinking.
Absolutely. And it gave my ex a convenient excuse, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it. He actually did tell me one time that he had gotten drunk and went to a gay bar. And, you know, and I thought, you know, a heterosexual man, if he gets drunk, usually they don't go to a gay bar. I mean, they may go pick up another woman, but, you know, what kind of heterosexual man gets drunk and ends up in a gay bar? But,
and Debbie, I just wanted to mention also that a lot of times I think many of these guys who can't come to terms with who they are, they want to get into a swinging scene. Only because of the fact that, you know, they're still trying to convince themselves they're not gay. And if they could be with a man and a woman, it's easier to say I'm a swinger than it is to say I'm gay.
That's
so
true.
Well, you know what it is with him, too? He was, through the marriage, he cheated a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Why I kept trying to hold on to this marriage, I'll never know. Well, I loved him.
Exactly.
I loved him, and I thought I could change things.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a very good talker, and
mm-hmm.
a very good talker. He's still doing it to this day to other women. So in going to the swinger scene, he
mm-hmm.
could actually get a woman who would watch him and allow him to be with other women. He had asked me several times if I would sleep with another girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you're nuts. So he found in the swinger scene, he could do basically anything he wanted. But like I said, in between that, this was at the end as the marriage was breaking up and I found everything out. I found him in, you know, gay bars.
Mm-hmm.
And one time I walked in and he was drunk and dancing with a, what are they, drag queens? Or, you know, and I walked right over to him. I
mm-hmm.
said, what are you doing? And he, his response, he looked at me and he said, you got to ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
like,
really?
You're the one. Well, right.
I said, watch how much more I ruin. And another time I had caught him in there, and he was just sitting at the end of the bar by himself with, like, a head in his hand, like, depressed. He would come to me at, like, 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what's wrong with me. I want to take a gun to my head. But he was such a liar. I don't know what to believe, but the weird part for me, I know for me, is that I think, okay, I was married for 15 years. We had a child together. And I don't know who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
We do not speak. I feel like I wasted 15 years of my life, except for the fact that I had my son.
Now, is your son in touch with him?
No, he wants nothing to do with my son.
Mm-hmm.
But couldn't wait for me to have a baby. Does that make any sense? I mean, wanted a child in the worst way, and was upset that I didn't have a girl.
Hmm.
There was so many issues, and the drinking was a huge problem. He loved to party. He just loved to party and was up for anything. The stranger.
And it's also possible, Debbie, that he had a sexual addiction also.
I would think so, because he did it both ways. You know,
right.
In the beginning it was just cheating with women. And then I found a friend of mine found all these magazines under my bed. And said, Deb, did you see these? I'm like, what? And I'm looking at them. They were like almost like advertisements. I said, what is this? He said, this is like all people looking for people, swinging scenes, stuff and all that. And at the time, me and my husband were broken up. It was another time I had found him cheating. So being the person that I am, I was fuming, you know, when I found out what this was all about. So... this is kind of embarrassing, but this is me. I tore out all the pages out of the magazine and found out where my husband was and taped them all over his car. Just taped them all over his car. And I was just so angry and, you know.
And desperate.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very normal feeling, you know, when you just feel you're fighting a losing battle.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's nothing you can do. It's like, you know, a dam where there's a million holes and they're all opening up at the same time and you can't catch the water. And
now, it's not like come to you and say, look, we need to talk after the fact. You know, look, I'm sorry I put you through this. I was confused. It wasn't you. I really did love you.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused. Like, to make sense of it to you. They just do what they want. They have no regard of how it's going to leave you affected. I know in my case, that's the case. I'm okay with it now. I'm actually okay with it. And I feel, and I've told my friends this, in my heart, God took me and my son. He ended that marriage. Because that man would have taken us to the ground, literally to the ground. He did in a huge way, and it's been a long struggle back. But I can love again. I mean, I definitely can love again. You know, and I think once I do get into the relationship that I'm hoping to get into, that'll be meaningless to me.
Mm-hmm.
But will it be meaningless to my son?
Right, and that's why a lot of these kids really need support. We were trying to get a group going for, you know, older teenagers and adults, you know, children of gay fathers, because they have so many issues to contend with that they can't talk about to their mothers or even to their friends, and we're still working on getting that group going. But, Deb, I want to go through some of the things that Rhonda wrote about in her newsletter, and you tell us also how you feel about this, all right?
Okay.
So, Rhonda wrote some really wonderful advice. So for people listening on how to put your life back on track as she did, the first thing that Rhonda wrote about is to fall in love with yourself, which is something I'm very, very big in espousing. Enjoy spending time with yourself alone, walking around the neighborhood, or sitting quietly with your positive thoughts of what your new life can be like. Discover new things about yourself. Maybe you have talents or artistic interests. Maybe you will find joy in helping at a retirement home or preschool, or volunteering at your church, singing in a choir, learning to paint or to belly dance. Is there something you've always wanted to do but didn't because you didn't have the time? Well, now you have the time. Do it. Make it happen. I started writing and painting again. No best-selling novel or a masterpiece yet, but I created things that meant something to me and were fun to work on. So I think that was good advice. What do you think, Deb?
I don't think I would have started belly dancing anytime soon, but yeah, no, that is good advice.
Learning belly dance.
But I think that
I didn't do that. I just went right out there and I started dating again.
Mm-hmm.
I think I needed to prove to myself that I was attractive. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. All of our women go through that, Deb, but we always tell our women that we know that need to feel like you're a normal woman who can attract a normal man, you know, quote-unquote, a heterosexual man, is very much there. But as far as getting into any real entanglements or involvements in relationships, I think that just like any other kind of recovery, as I call it, gay husband recovery, you really need to spend that first year examining what's happened in your life, what brought you to this point, how did you let it get to this point. So, you know, I tell women to have fun, go out and have fun and practice, but, you know, wait till your soulmate comes along.
Well, yeah, because none of these relationships worked. And
exactly.
A lot of the men told me that I had this wall up. I didn't
mm-hmm.
think I had a wall up. I was like, what are you talking about? You know, they told me I had a wall up. I know now that the wall is down.
But that's
and I'm not dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am getting to know myself now. You know,
okay. That's important before you enter a real relationship. But the second thing that Rhonda wrote about was get rid of the remnants of him. I cleaned the house after mine left, a process which
mm-hmm.
took months, but it felt great. He touched it, wore it, bought it, sat on it, liked it, I tossed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that left me with a pretty barren house for a while, but I began over time to fill my home with only the things that I could choose that I loved that meant something special to me and my children. Far better to have a barren house full of love than a full house full of memory reminders of a painful relationship. And I think that's great, Rhonda.
Thank you.
That is good, Rhonda.
There was a little bit of feng shui in that, too, if you're familiar with feng shui.
I'm familiar with that, yes.
It, you know, when you see something that reminds you of someone and it gives you a painful memory, get rid of it. You know, why subject yourself to those memories? So it was very therapeutic and very cathartic in a lot of ways, too, to throw away things and get rid of things that reminded me of him.
I think that's excellent. Then you have reach for your higher power and or open yourself up to new spiritual thinking. Think about what you believe and find like-minded people to surround yourself with during this time. I use this time to learn about all types of religious philosophies, angels, astrology, numerology, positive thinking, even fish,
feng shui.
Feng shui. My world became bigger, and my relationships with my own higher power, God, became even stronger, which gave me the energy I needed. And I think that's a wonderful thing also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of women are looking for answers, and I think that every kind of, you know, religion and philosophy can all give you some kinds of insight that if you take yourself out of your immediate surroundings really helps.
Yeah,
and the next one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It was fascinating, too, to learn more about the different types of religious philosophies and different types of positive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And on, and I was able to take the little snippets of things that were helpful to me and hold on to those.
Mm-hmm. And then all kinds of positive thoughts that, you know, each, every philosophy can give you, and they all have something to offer, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then you have rekindle relationships with your stable girlfriends or find a new circle of female friends. We often underestimate how much power we as women have supporting and encouraging each other. If you need to find new female friends, do it. If someone's not lifting you up, if they're not a joy to be around, it's probably time to part ways. You don't need to take on anyone else's baggage right now, but you need girl time. I even use sites like Facebook and MySpace to find old friends and supportive new friends. Female friends, that is. Leave the men alone. More on that later. So now we're going to move over to concentrate on being healthy. Eat when you should and eat right. Exercise. If you hate to go to the gym, take your kids, your dog, or your neighbor, etc., on walks with you around the neighborhood. Go to the doctor. Go to the dentist. Talk to a therapist. I highly recommend this. Or a pastor who provides counseling. Look for a support group. If you smoke, cut back or quit entirely. Don't hang out in bars. This is an investment in your future self. By the way, think about changing your hairstyle in some way or wearing a color you don't normally wear. Breaking out of old habits and getting out of all ruts is emotionally healthy. And now for your advice that I think is really the greatest that I always say, don't even think about dating. Don't even bother to look, because when you're looking, you don't find the right guy anyway. Don't put your profile on Match.com or any other dating website. Don't let a friend or a family member fix you up on a blind date. 2011 is your year, and you can't possibly give yourself the attention you need while trying to look all perky and cute for some guy. This year, you are the one. And when it's time for you to meet the other one, nothing can stop that from happening. Most likely, it will happen as a complete surprise to both of you. And how did this work out for me? I've been with my wonderful Lee for 3 years now, and they've been the happiest, most joy-filled, passionate years of my life. He's everything I never even knew I was missing in a man. We've just celebrated our third Christmas together in our home, surrounded by 5 young and adult children, his mother, sister, and brother, 2 dogs, and 3 cats. And then Rhonda writes, my dear sisters, I have a real family now and a home full of love, and this is exactly what I pray for each of you. And I think
congratulations, Rhonda.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
But Rhonda, that took a lot of work on that relationship, right?
It absolutely did, and it was worth every bit of it, every bit of work that it took to make myself as emotionally healthy as I could be
mm-hmm.
when Lee came into my life. Had I met him before I had done all that work in my, on myself, I don't think it would have clicked. You know, I met him when I was ready to meet him, and he came along, you know, after when he was ready to meet me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I really would really encourage everyone to spend time on themselves and make themselves the best person they can be. And be the person that you're meant to be. Don't try to be what someone else thinks you should be.
Exactly.
It's really all about you. You know,
Devin,
I have...
Were you trying to change yourself to fit your husband's needs?
Were you talking to me or Debbie?
To you, Debbie, yeah.
Debbie?
What, did I do what?
Did you try to change yourself to accommodate his needs to make him happy?
Yes.
Because I think so much of us, you know, we lose ourselves in these marriages because we want to make our husbands happy, and no matter how we try, nothing's working.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we try to do everything, even the things that go against our personal grain or our nature, just to try to make them happy. I know that I certainly did that.
Yeah,
and I became
I
someone
too.
Who I wasn't.
Yeah,
you know,
I forgot
I did
who I
that.
Was.
But I agree with Rhonda in, you know, getting rid of all of their things. I did the same thing. I started from scratch, but it was all mine,
mm-hmm.
you know, all new, and very much so the spiritual part, very
mm-hmm.
much so. And I totally, totally agree that, no, don't go out there and look, because when you look, you don't find. It's when you're not looking and when the timing's right and the divine time, it's going to happen. And it's going to be right.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be right. It's almost like, did you ever hear that song, It's My Turn, by Diana Ross?
Mm-hmm.
If you really listen to the words to that song, it all applies. You know, it's an experience that you had to live through. In order, now you could help other people who go through the same experience, who have went through the same experience. But I think, and maybe Rhonda will know the answer to this, when you get into that new, real relationship, it's probably worth everything, will be worth everything that you went through to get to where you are.
Absolutely, and I will tell you, it was a little scary for me at first too. Again, it goes back to, you know, having made bad decisions in the past with regard to a man. So, when Lee came along, I had to talk out loud to myself and to my girlfriends and. You know, it was a little scary to think that I could be getting involved with someone else again. But again, I go back to what you said, Bonnie. You know, relationships aren't supposed to be complicated. And the relationship with Lee is not complicated. It's very easygoing, very relaxed. You know, and I didn't know that this was the way it was supposed to be until I actually got into this relationship with him. And you
but
know,
you also had to do some internal changing, right, Rhonda?
Absolutely. And you know, I'm still growing. I'm still dealing with some of the inadequacies, you know, that I felt from being married to a gay man. But I'm much better prepared to deal with those things now than I was years ago. I like to think of myself as a work in progress. I will continue to be a work in progress.
Which I think is really commendable, Rhonda, and you know, I can't thank you so much. I know that your words inspired so many of our readers and our listeners who are listening. And Deb, you were one of them, right?
Yeah. And are you familiar with Ilana Van Zandt?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But
Ilana Van Zandt.
No, I'm not.
She's an author. She's written many really great books.
Mm-hmm.
She said when you meet the right person, you're not going to want to change them. And they're not going to want to change you. There's going to be nothing about them that you're going to want to change, and vice versa. It's just going to, like I think Rhonda said or you said, it's not going to be complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has a different way of dealing with it. You know, my pain was that I never knew this. I really never knew this person. That I spent 50.
And I think a lot of people suffer from that, Deb, thinking, you know, it's an illusion of everything they live for all the years that they're married, that here they thought they were married to someone, and it turns out to be someone who they had no clue who they were married to.
Mm-hmm.
I think that bothers a lot of women, and especially women in long-term marriages, you know, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, that here's someone who they trusted, who they believed in, who they thought, you know, they were connected to through marriage and through, you know, all the vows and everything that goes with it. And here it is, somebody totally different. And I think that's the greatest feeling of betrayal of all.
Yeah, and you're raising their children. You're being a wife. I was a wife for 15 years, a mother. I'll always be a mother, but, you know. And you lose, I felt like it was 15 years taken away from me, where in that
mm-hmm.
time I could have been finding a life, a real life, not this fake life.
And I think that women have to also realize it's just not the number of years that you were married, but all the years of recovery from that marriage
mm-hmm.
that
exactly.
are taken from you also.
I can appreciate that, yeah. I felt that way too, that this was time that I would never get back. And
exactly, and that's why I tell women, every day you lose in these marriages is a day you can never get back, and that's why you need to make plans to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have two women who rid themselves of every kind of memory, of every kind of piece of anything that would remind them of their marriages so they could start their lives anew. And I think that once you do that, you have that peace of mind. I'm just curious from both of you. I know when my marriage ended, you know, everybody's marriage is different. Certainly Misty's was different than all of ours also. But I always felt like I was walking on eggshells. You know, I had that kind of husband, you know, where I always had to worry what I said, what I did, that, you know, he was going to get angry, you know, that, you know, of course I didn't understand all the problems at the time. But I felt so good that I was able to, I lived with a lot less, for sure, but I was able to go to bed with peace of mind every night. And I think that's worth everything. Do you both agree with that?
Absolutely. There was a relief in just finally having this thing decided one way or another. Because I was on the fence for so long with him. You know, my head said, get rid of him. My heart said, but you love him, you know, and so I was constantly doing this debate, had this turmoil about should I kick him out, should I end this thing, or should I buckle down, work harder, make it work somehow. So once he was finally out of the house and I had filed the divorce papers and they had been served to him, I felt this great relief. Did it hurt? Absolutely. It hurt like crazy. But at the same time, I felt like I had finally taken a step forward to do what I needed it to do to reclaim my life. I wanted my life back.
Right. Exactly. I tell women, take your life back because you've lost it in these marriages. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we lose who we are. We lose a sense of who we were before we got married. You know, this marriage just consumes us because there's so many things going through our mind at all times, and most of them are not good things, you know, tracking people, being detectives, like Deb, you were, you know, saying how you had to chase yours down, finding him in gay bars. I mean, this stuff is very time and mentally consuming and really, you know, zaps the life out of you, I think.
It does.
You know, the hard part for me, too, was to this day, I do feel, and this is, I'm not trying to sound stupid, I feel he did really love me the best he could.
Exactly, and I really believe that's true.
Anybody, and at first I thought I was being delusional,
mm-hmm.
But then when I looked over it, he tried too hard. Every time he got caught, he just tried too hard. And then even at the very, very end, I said it officially ended in 98. This all started in 96. He called me desperately and said he wanted to get his family back together.
Mm-hmm.
He was very lost, extremely lost. Mm-hmm. And he's very much into tattoos. Now he thinks he's a biker. One day when he grows up, he'll decide what he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
So his arms are completely tattooed. But he never got my name covered.
Mm-hmm.
He got every tattoo covered, but he never got my name covered.
Well, I always say I think these guys, you know, in fact, I was talking to my friend Doug tonight about that. I would say that in almost all cases, I mean, there's always exceptions, but most of them marry us and, because they love us, and they're hoping things can work out.
Yeah.
And they're confused about their sexuality. You know, they're hoping they're not gay. They don't want to be gay. They want to be straight. And they think that if they fall in love with a woman and they can perform for a while with a woman sexually, you know, that they won't be gay. I'm not even going to say that they'll be straight, but they just won't be gay.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't identify with the gay community or with the, you know, typical kinds of things they see in the gay community. They say, that's not me. You know, they want the same thing that heterosexual men have as far as marriage and family. And they're hoping if they love you enough, they can pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always say, Deb, that they do, you know, they love us the best they can love us. It's not the way we need to be loved, but it doesn't negate the fact that many of them do love us. They just can't, you know, sustain it because they're not great.
That helps therapeutically if women could walk away thinking that he loved me the best way he knew how, okay, because I know my ex has went on to hurt further people, further women, except for the one that he actually left me for, who was into the same thing as he was, you know, and we all know that's not healthy, that's not love, watching your partner sleep with someone else in front of you, they all think it's fun. And when I went out there dating, I met a lot of men who were into that. They would say, you know, did you ever hear of swinging? And I was like, you're kidding me. And I would walk away. And I'm like, what is this, the new thing now?
I don't know, Deb. I've never had any man ask me that.
Yeah, it just seemed like the new thing. Let everybody swing.
I don't know.
Swinging.
It could be also the guys that you're attracting. So that's why I always told them, you got to really get to know yourself. But sometimes women give off signals and not realizing it, you know, just men know, certain kinds of men know how to look for us. You know, we're giving, caring, loving women.
That's right.
And a lot of men sense that, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you're in the water and sharks, you know, they look for blood and they come after you. And, you know, if you're a certain kind of woman, I always say you have to know that predators are going to look for you. So that's why women have to really get to know themselves, strengthen themselves up, so those kind of men don't approach you.
But I also believe this is a lesson. We, you know, we choose our lessons before we come here. And so we obviously, so I must have been drunk when I was choosing my lessons, that this was a lesson I had to learn. I came here to learn. Same thing with my son. Same thing with Rhonda, whoever's going through it. This was a lesson you were meant to, you chose to learn this lesson for whatever reason. You know, like I said, I must have had a few drinks while I was pondering on that. And the funny thing was, is he picked me, and he was a big drinker.
That.
And I've never had a drink in my life, and he knew that. I often wondered, did he pick me because he wanted a normal life? He wanted to be someone different? You know, but you could think about this all day and all night. But I think the main thing people need to do is think about what's ahead and not what's behind.
We'll end our show on that positive note tonight and thank both of you, Deb, for being our unexpected guest, and Rhonda, for really helping so many of our women through your words. And, you know, Rhonda, I hope you'll be able to come back with us. Go ahead, Deb.
No, I was just thanking Rhonda.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
And also, I would like to just let everybody know that next week we have a really excellent show also. There's a new book that just came out. I don't know if you ladies heard of it, called Can't Think Straight. It's a memoir of a mixed-up love by Kiri Blakely. It's been getting a lot of national press and news stories, and Carrie's been on a lot of, you know, national shows now, and she's going to talk to us about her 10-year relationship with her fiance and, you know, gay partner, and, you know, she's a young, beautiful woman who went through the same kinds of things that we've all gone through, feeling the same kind of emotional, you know, impact that all of us felt. And her book is also available, Curie Blakely, Can't Think Straight. And also we're planning on having Jonathan Alpert, who's a psychotherapist in New York City, who works with people in our situation. And Jonathan works for a lot of national newspapers, and he's interviewed quite often. So both of them will be our guests next week, so hopefully you'll tune in and listen. So from Misty and I, Misty, you have anything to say?
No, I just want to thank both of the guests. I mean, they've given so much insight to so many listeners that we have. I know people will identify with both of their stories. I appreciate you being on here and telling and expressing, because it's hard to discuss these paths that we've all shared. And thank you for helping others.
Thanks, Misty.
Yes, and once again, if you're not getting my newsletter and you'd like to get it so you can read Rhonda's story, you can write to me at bonkaye at AOL.com, and I'll be happy to send it out to you. So thank our guests, Rhonda, Deb. Mm-hmm. I hope you'll join us again in the future.
Absolutely.
And we want to wish all of our women a very good week, and we'll be back again next Sunday night. Good night to all of you, and Misty.
Good night, love.
All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.